hitting the record button. So just to be clear, these are also things that I know nothing about. So it should be pretty fun discussion. before I dig in, Kathy's passing out some passages that we'll be reading. So as we go through this presentation, I'll call you out. So pay attention, because I might call out your section. You might not be paying attention. I'll have to call your name again. Everybody's going to look at you. It'll be fun. We're putting the school back in Sunday school. All right. Caveats first. I already said I know nothing about this. My main interest in theoretical physics is because I like writing stories, and I'm a sci-fi junkie, so I like having my sci-fi have an air of authenticity sometimes. And so that's mainly why I read this stuff. So I'm not going in depth on any of this. We're not going to be doing integrals of fourth order equations or anything like that. We're going, I'm sorry. But we are, so I'm going to try and keep it kind of high level, but it's still going to be mind bending. So I'm going to ask that you keep your minds open, your imaginations engaged, and we'll approach this from a speculative approach. I'm going to pray one more time real quick for us so we get started. Heavenly Father, please help my words come out correctly to convey things that you want people in this room to know. But please keep our words and our thoughts on a path of truth, and that I pray that we don't wander off into craziness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I called this, God's out of his box again. And when I first was thinking about how to present this, I had this whirlwind of thoughts about hyperdimensionality and quantum physics and the idea that our universe is just a hologram and we're inside the middle, outside of a black hole and all of this. And I thought, no. Let's just focus. Let's pull back. Let's focus on hyperdimensionality, okay? And hyperdimensionality means it's something that's beyond our dimension. So for all the intents and purposes of this presentation, we're going to assume that we are three-dimensional creatures. We have length, width, and depth. And hyperdimensions are dimensions that are beyond. So a fourth dimension would have an extra dimension. Some people, like if you think about the three axes on our grid are X, Y, and Z. Some people will call the fourth dimension W. It's a dimension that's hard for us to imagine because we don't exist in there, as far as we know anyway. We don't exist in that dimension. So it's going to be mind-bending, but we're going to focus on just hyperdimensionality and how that might relate to God and the Bible. All right, let's see if I can figure out how to make the next slide go. All right, here we go. All right, so... Here are the goals. Sometimes I find myself thinking that physical reality, this space we live in, is the real experience, and that spiritual reality is something of a mental or emotional construct that we put on top of our experience here. So it's kind of like Earth is a cupcake and heaven is the cream cheese frosting that we put on top. But what if Earth is a cupcake and heaven is actually the Parisian bistro in whose display case it sits on a bright Sunday morning in the spring, with a busker playing a cello on the sidewalk outside and the smell of lilac blossoms wafting through the open door? What if our experience here is so infinitesimally small compared to actual reality that it boggles the mind? It doesn't make sense. The goals here are, one, to explore the mysteries of the faith with quote-unquote science, and I use that quotes because this is really theoretical science, which is closer to science fiction than it is to real science, I would say. The second one is to make weird stuff in the Bible fun for nerds, so that's the second goal. And then the third goal is to help us better grasp that God is not subject to our reality, but we are subject to his. So as we think about God, we have to step outside of ourselves. We cannot conceive of God as being just something that's in our mind or something that's a projection of ourselves. All right, so when you read the Bible, when you're reading through some of this stuff and you're thinking through some of theological conundrums and mysteries and paradoxes, how do you think about it? The creation, the Trinity, the angels, the incarnation, the resurrection, eschatology, God coming back. When you're reading that stuff and you're thinking about that stuff, do you just write it off all to like a weird spiritual dimension? Does it seem magical? Is it just God's magic? And what does spiritual even mean? I'm going to read just a couple of verses that kind of illustrate this, if I can find them. What did I put down there? Ephesians 2, 6. These are ones I have. This is from the New International Version. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay, that's a little bit weird. That's outside of our experience. Ephesians 3:10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So sometimes when you read heavenly realms, my mind at least either goes off into fantasy, because I read a lot of fiction. So I read fantasy fiction, I read science fiction. And so sometimes my mind goes off in either direction. We're going to lean a little bit more towards the science fiction side of things rather than the fantasy. But that's almost the only way I can conceive of things when I read stuff like that. All right. So if we think of these theological mysteries as something that just happens in the spiritual dimension, let's talk about dimensions. I think it's pretty clear that the Bible says that there is a heavenly dimension, and it's pretty clear that theoretical physicists and the math says that there are actual extra dimensions. The question that I don't think I can answer, or anybody can answer, are whether those are the same thing. So take all of this with a grain of salt. All right, this is a square. This should be relatively easy for everyone to understand. So if you're having trouble, then let me know, because we might need to do something else. A square has...
Square one.
Yes, right. We might have to go back to square one. I like it. All right. So a square has four one-dimensional sides. Everybody see them? Can you count them? Is there four? Good. All right. So now let's think about this square. Let's contemplate it. Let's just stare at it for a moment and imagine what a three-dimensional being beyond the plane that square exists in, what we can say about them. And this one should be pretty easy again, because that's us. We are the three-dimensional beings beyond the plane that square exists in. So we can observe the totality of that square. We can see the outside of the square. We can see the inside of the square. We can see all of the edges without moving or really trying, right? We can be millimeters away without actually interacting with that square. If I were to take this little microphone with me, because otherwise I will pull it right off the table, I can hover my finger right above the square, millimeters away, and the square has no idea that I'm there. We could enter the plane in multiple places at once. If I wanted to enter this square's world, this plane, I could take my three fingers, I could stick them into the plane right here to the square. It would look like three separate entities, but it's me. It's just me. All right, now let's think about what if we were a 2D being, a two-dimensional being that is limited to the plane that this square is in. What would be true about us then? One is we would only be able to observe vertices or lines. So from our perspective as a two-dimensional being, this is all we could see of the square if we saw it edge first. If we saw it vertice first, meaning if we were looking at a corner diagonally, then the edges of the square would kind of fade off into the distance, and so you'd see like a gradation of color or shadow or something like that. The second thing is, if we were a two-dimensional being, we would be unaware of 3D beings outside of the plane. We wouldn't know that my hand is here. And finally, we as two-dimensional beings, if we were in this plane, would be limited to the plane both in interaction and in thought. We would not be able to conceive of there being another plane above us, or even a three-dimensional space that exists beyond us. All right, so this is key, because the only way, in my mind, the only way to actually conceive of dimensions above three dimensions is to be able to use the analogy of a two-dimensional being trying to conceive of the third dimension. So that's why I'm starting out there. Let's go to the next slide. All right, let's move up a dimension. This is a cube. Hopefully, again, everybody's with me. Everybody's with me on this one? All right, so this is a cube. Technically, it's projected into a two-dimensional drawing. So projection is going to be another key concept that we're going to come back to in a little bit here. This cube, you remember the square, had four one-dimensional sides. A cube has six two-dimensional faces. And you'll notice they're squares, right? So we're building up the six faces. There's three you can see here, and there's three on the back that you can't see because we're limited to a two-dimensional projection. So using the same logic that we did with the three-dimensional beings and the two-dimensional beings, let's use that same logic here for a theoretical four-dimensional being. Actually, here, let's start with the three-dimensional being here because this is anchored to our own reality here. So because what we can say about this cube here is a three-dimensional being in this space, us, we can only observe vertices, lines, or faces. So of this cube, we can only see the face of the cube, an edge of the cube, or a point of a cube looking at it, right? We are unaware of any four-dimensional beings that are outside of the space that this cube could exist in. At least, if you are aware of a four-dimensional being, you might need to talk to somebody besides me. Although I would like to hear about it afterward. Okay, the third thing is that we are limited to the space that this cube exists in, or that any three-dimensional object exists in both interaction and thought. This table is three dimensions. I can interact with it in this three-dimensional space. I can think about it in this three-dimensional space and consider it. I can't really conceive of something outside of three dimensions. So, but now let's bump up to the fourth-dimensional being. So again, this is analogous to the last slide, the three-dimensional being. One, the four-dimensional being can observe the totality, both inside and outside, of any three-dimensional object. So it's the same as we can see everything in a square, in a plane. A four-dimensional being would be able to see everything about us, inside, outside, our muscles, our guts, our skin, everything all at once, and it wouldn't even try. Like, it's not something that is like abnormal for it. Two, this four-dimensional being can be millimeters away from us without ever interacting or without our knowledge that they're there. And the third one is this four-dimensional being could enter into our space multiple places at once, and to us it would look like three separate objects, but it would be just one in four dimensions. Okay? So that'll come in key. I think you might be seeing where I'm going here.
I was lost for a second on two dimensional. I got back on track with
that. Alright. So are you guys ready to jump into the ocean of hyperdimensions? Hyperdimensions, we've been talking about two dimensions, three dimensions, we're gonna jump into four, okay? We're baby stepping here. We're looking at a cube again. So we're not quite to four dimensions. We're looking at a cube again. This time, we're looking at a two-dimensional projection of the cube straight overhead. So pretend you have a perfect cube, a wireframe cube, and you're looking overhead at it. This is what you would see, right? You'd see the top of the cube, and then you'd see the sides, and you'd see the bottom. So real quick, where is the sixth face? Like, you can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where is the sixth face? On the top, you're right. And in the projection, it's all around the outside, right? Of all the other, it looks, from our perspective, it looks like it is containing all of the others. But it's not really, it's just kind of on the top. And that's just the nature of the projection. So this isn't really a 3D object. It's a 2D rendering of a 2D projection of a 3D object. Right? But that's what I'm trying to, like, you can see there's a distortion here, right? In this projection. Like, these aren't squares, right? They're trapezoids. What are these? Trapezoids? Yeah. So there's distortion depending on how you're looking at it, depending on your perspective. It's hard to think, like, even though this sixth face is the same size as all the others, it looks like it's encompassing in everything. All right, so now finally we jump into the fourth dimensional object. This is a hypercube. This is a projection of a hypercube. This is also called a tesseract, if anybody's a fan of Wrinkle in Time, which is where I mostly know about tesseract, or I've seen it in sci-fi. And again, this is sort of a wireframe. So this is the cube was, what was it, 6 2D faces? A hypercube has 8 3D cells. So it's similar. You can see there's a cube in the kind of a cube in the middle. That's the cube that's far away in the fourth dimension. And then there are cubes around the outside. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then the backside, 6. And the one in the middle, 7. Where is the 8th cell? If we were to use the analogy of the last one, around the outside. Yeah, exactly. It's the big cube all around the outside. That's the 8th cell of a hypercube. So again, this is a projection. This isn't really a 4D object. It's a 2D rendering of a 3D projection of a 4D object. So keep that in mind. That's why our minds can't really grasp things. We have no way of depicting these correctly. All right, just for my own personal, I like to try and think of the fourth dimension as something that's like inward. And because maybe I'll talk about it later on a later slide, but I don't know, it makes more sense in my mind to say I have a three-dimensional object like my fist, and then there could be other fists in the fourth dimension that are exactly like it, but they're all kind of like inside. And that's sort of what the hypercube is too, like you see a cube inside going in. But it's impossible to imagine correctly, so that's just how I do it. All right, next one. All right, so that was hyperdimension with projection, projecting things. So you project, we know about projecting a cube. That was a projection of a hypercube. There's also something called folding, which might help us understand more about the fourth dimension.
This is origami.
This is origami. Yes, you've got it. You've got it. You've grasped it. This is a cube, which is three-dimensional object, but it's been unfolded into two dimensions, into its constituent parts, two dimensions. So that's what this is. You can see the 6 faces. They're all folded out. It's in two dimensions. This is what it would look like if it folded up back into three dimensions, right? And you'll notice the 6th square folds twice to cover, quote unquote, the whole structure in three dimensions. See it folding twice? All right, let's go mind-bendy again. This is a hypercube unfolded into three dimensions. It's been unfolded into our space, what we can understand. Look, see how it's similar? It's kind of got that cross pattern. It's got 2 cubes on one side, 1 cube on this side. This is going to have 8 cubes, the one in the middle, 2, 3, 4, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 around the outside. So it's got your 8 cells that we talked about. This is what it would look like, again, rough because we don't understand it. This is what it would look like if it folded up into 4 dimensions. Or this is unfolding. And then this is folding back up. So you see how all of the cells came together except for that last one that's on the long side. It actually folded twice. Watch it one more time. It folds up like the others, and then it folds back again to cover the whole cube. All right, so that's kind of trippy, right? That's fun. Oh, thank you. All right, so since that was so elementary, let's get really weird now, okay? Let's get really, really weird. What would a shape a rotating four-dimensional shape, a rotating hypercube, look like in 4 dimensions if we were able to visualize it? All right, let's start with what we know and love, our own three-dimensional comfortable space here, right? This is a cube, a wireframe cube, rotating in the third dimension. Does that make sense to everybody? Kind of looks cool. I like the colors. They change a little bit. All right, here you go. Here's the hypercube rotating in 4 dimensions.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. That's
too much.
That looks like a ride at 6 feet.
Yeah. All right, so I want to say, As you watch the cube rotate, you'll notice that as our perspective changes, there's a moment in time where it's perfect, the big square that's close to us and the square that's farthest away from us in the third dimension, they're perfect squares for just a moment. But if you look carefully at the hypercube, there's a moment in time where the outside cube and the inside cube are perfectly square from our perspective. They look like perfect cubes. Right about there. All right. So, yeah, it does. It's the fun thing is that this is extra credit, by the way. So, no extra charge for this. The cube that we looked at was rotating around an axis. Hypercubes rotate around planes, and so that's why I think the cube kind of looks like it's like bleh, exploding like vomit out of the middle. It's because it's rotating around a plane, not an axis. Yeah, that is. That'll go in my textbook coming out next year.
Yes, please include that.
Blah. Yeah, I got to figure out how to write that sound down. The onomatopoeia. Oh, whoops. I keep forgetting. All right. Here's another extra credit thing. All of that is with incredibly simplistic shapes, right? Cubes. We could talk about spheres. We could talk about pyramids. This, it gets way more complicated, especially if you go into string theory. This is something called a Calabi-Yau, I think is how you pronounce it, manifold. This is a 2D rendering of a 3D projection of the six unseen dimensions of string theory. String theory says that there's at least six dimensions beyond R3, or I guess R4 if you count time, which I don't, but that's a debate to be had. So it gets way more complicated. Basically, the only reason I put this up here is no matter what you can imagine about simplistic shapes, there are untold infinity number of really complicated shapes that could exist in these extra dimensions. That's the only reason I put this up here. This is the tip of the iceberg that we're talking about. All right, now let's get biblical with speculation, my favorite. Okay, now we're going to start reading some verses. So if you got a little paper, check it out and see if you're going to get a verse coming on here. Okay, this is, if we go look through the Bible, where are some evidences or some places where we might be able to apply our newfound understanding of hyperdimensions? Where might those be? Let's start with the beginning. Creation. Who has creation? Who has the creation tab? All right. Oh, we passed out two. Okay.
No, we have 1:1.
Yep. Okay, Genesis 1:1. Yep. We're going to go back. We're going to talk about more beginning things. Okay, you go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, just read it out for everybody to hear. I'll come around with the little Mikey mic. No, read it.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Okay.
Keep going?
Yeah, all of them.
Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And that was John 1:1-3, and Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.
Okay. So what is seen is not made out of what is visible. All right. So this is going to be a depiction of creation. All right. Let's imagine, if we will, again, we're using 3D and 2D as analogies to 4D and 3D. So that's why... these are all two-dimensional shapes here and three-dimensional shapes. So imagine you have a sphere. Imagine, if you will, a spherical chicken. No, that's a little joke about theoretical physics. passing through the second dimension. Okay, so you got a plane here. That's the second dimension. You got a three-dimensional sphere kind of starting to enter it. And it goes down through it, it passes through the middle, and then it comes out the other side, right? And then this is our eye. We're, for whatever reason, looking up at this. And what would we see? What would we see if we were looking up at this plane as this sphere passed through? This is basically what we would see if we are able to observe the whole plane is the top one. If we were limited to the plane is what the bottom one is. If we were a two-dimensional being stuck in the plane, this is what we would see, right? Although these lines, again, would be kind of gradiated as the edges of the circle went away from us in two dimensions. Okay, so a lot of these ideas actually were come up with back in the 1800s by a fellow named, what was his name? Well, he wrote a book called Flatland. It'll be at the end. Edwin somebody somebody. What? Maybe. I can't remember his last name. I think, yeah. So this is Flatland. So in Flatland, it's a story about a square that lives in two dimensions, and he is visited by a sphere that lives in three dimensions. And this sphere is trying to kind of make him a disciple and spread the good news about how there's a third dimension, okay? And so in Flatland, there's a council of circles who are the most perfect shapes in two dimensions. And they are going to condemn the square to jail or death because he is teaching heresy about this third dimension. And so the sphere is talking to the square as the council is kind of, conferring with each other. He says, "You hear," oh, and this is the 1800s, so bear with the language. You hear your fate," said the sphere to me, while the council was passing for the third time the formal resolution. "Death or imprisonment awaits the apostle of the gospel of three dimensions." "Not so," replied I. "The matter is now so clear to me, the nature of real space so palpable, that methinks I could make a child understand it. Permit me but to descend at this moment and enlighten them." Oh, I think the sphere or the sphere has pulled the square out into the three dimensions, so they're looking at the council. "Not yet," said my guide. "The time will come for that. Meantime, I must perform my mission. Stay thou there in thy place." Saying these words, he leaped with great dexterity into the sea, if I may so call it, of Flatland, right in the midst of the ring of counselors. "I come," said he, "to proclaim that there is a land of three dimensions." I could see many of the younger counselors start back in manifest horror as the sphere's circular section widened before them. But on a sign from the presiding circle, who showed not the slightest alarm or surprise, six isosceles of low type from six different quarters rushed upon the sphere. "We have him," they cried. "No, yes, we have him still." "No, he's gone. He's gone." Okay, so that's what it would look like. And then here's an animation of that. You'll notice the animation doesn't show this great, but the bottom of the sphere, as it enters the plane, would be a point, but it would rapidly expand to be almost the circumference of the middle of the sphere, and then it would grow slowly, and then it would rapidly contract again as it passed all the way through. Okay, so that's what it would look like. Okay, so now that we see that, what would a hypersphere, a sphere that's in the fourth dimension, passing through a 3D space, what would it look like if a 3D sphere going into a 2D plane is at a point, grows into a circle, and then contracts again? What would it look like for a hypersphere to enter our space and then contract again? This is an artist's rendering of the Big Bang. Now, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of the Big Bang and how long ago it was and did God use it to create the universe or what. But I just think it's interesting that the Big Bang is modeled as a point in our 3D space that very rapidly expands into a sphere, and then right now people think it's going to keep on expanding forever, but there's some theories that say eventually we'll contract again. This is a quote from the Center for Astrophysics at Harvard, whether it's, I think, sponsored or put on by Harvard and the Smithsonian. "In a billionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second, the universe grew by a factor of 10 to the 26th, comparable to a single bacterium expanding to the size of the Milky Way." So the Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail about God creating the heavens and the earth, but it does say something about the seen being created by the unseen. And so if God did use the Big Bang to create the universe, it fits nicely with the idea of a sphere, a hypersphere, entering three-dimensional space, a point just poof, suddenly turning into a sphere of the universe. All right, the beginning, man. Here's a... Is this you, Stephanie? Okay, go for it.
Okay. Genesis 1:26. "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that live along the ground.
All right, so God made man in his image. So what would that mean? Well, let's imagine for a second that God is a hypercube. Or let's say, in this case, God is a cube in 3D, and we are in a two-dimensional plane. We would look like squares, right? If God, if we are projections of God or we are images of God, we would look like squares. And in order, let's just say this analogy is bad because it shows God outside of our plane of existence, which I don't really want to do, but that's just part of the analogy. We would look like squares. Or if, depending on the lighting, we might look, or God's orientation to the plane, we might look like misshapen squares, kind of weird, distorted squares. So, so for instance, God, we might be limited, and somehow we're still reflections of him. Like maybe, like we have subjective knowledge instead of objective knowledge, or we have limited agency instead of absolute agency. So we're not part of God. We are not God. We just reflect God in this reality, in the two-dimensional plane. And so this is going to come up later when we talk about Jesus, because we're going to talk about Jesus being not a projection of God, something else. All right? Does that make sense? Sort of, kind of? All right. In the beginning, Eden. Who has Genesis 2? Who has the Eden section? Go ahead. All right, so one of the interesting things about, or sometimes critics of the Bible will say, is that we know where the Tigris and Euphrates are. Those other two rivers, we have no idea. People have theorized they're the Nile, or I think the Rhine, maybe. I forget what the other one is. Nobody, like, there's debate on what these rivers are. But there's really no place on Earth where there's a place where, or not Earth, but in the Middle East, where there's a headwater for four big major rivers. And so people will say, oh, that's because the earth has changed, the rivers have changed course, things like that. But what if Eden was actually in the fourth dimension? Or in this case, for our analogy, we exist in two dimensions, and Eden is in three dimensions, up at the top of a mountain, like a pyramid. And the rivers are actually flowing down the sides of the pyramid, four pyramid. If that somehow ended up in our existence, you'll notice that the four rivers would actually end up in four separate places within our dimension, even though they have headwaters up at the top. So that's neither here nor there. That's kind of a weird one, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. All right, next up, this is the one where almost I'm not going to get to the end, but this is one of my favorite ones. Okay, are you guys pretty familiar with Ezekiel? We won't read through it. You can look it up. The Ezekiel, what did I say? I didn't put the verses on here. Oh, did I? Oh, it's on. Okay. Ezekiel 1, 4 through 9. You can read it for yourself. It's basically this cherub. And here's a drawing somebody made of the Ezekiel cherub. Four faces, four wings, four arms. And I wanted to know whether anybody, if this brings to mind any shape that we've looked at so far. What do you think about this? I think that's interesting. I don't know. Maybe the body of the cherubs looks so weird because Ezekiel was seeing a four-dimensional body unfolded into three-dimensional space. I don't know. Here's another one. This is the wheels within wheels, also in Ezekiel, where the spirit of the cherubs actually lived in this weird wheels within wheels. this here is, I'm going to show you a hypercube, a four-dimensional hypercube rotating in four-dimensional space. So I think that's kind of interesting too. Like maybe the spirits of the cherubs didn't actually unfold into space because they're actually in a fifth dimension. So maybe Ezekiel was seeing this hypersphere rotating. I don't know. Looks like wheels within wheels to me. The incarnation. I'm going to speed through. All right. This is the most important one, actually. Remember how we said man might be a projection? And this is getting back to kind of the discussion we had in Danny's class. Jesus, if he's not a projection, he's actually God interacting with our reality. And so you'll notice that if a cube came down into two dimensions, we would see sort of a cross-section of it, and Jesus would actually be the form of God. He would actually be God, the cube, but he would appear as a man. He would appear as a projection. And this is the one interesting to me because this kind of helps me think about God being fully human and fully divine. All right, here's another one. Resurrection, when Jesus comes into the locker room, if he's hyperdimensional, like maybe he's a peg, he can insert himself in and out of locked rooms. This one is about, this was on the disciples in Emmaus. Jesus disappeared from before their eyes after they had recognized him. So he can come in and out of our space without going through doors. Instantaneous travel. This is another fun thing about tesseracts. So Philip, remember Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch? The Bible says he just found himself in another place. If a cube unfolds, these points that are far apart in two dimensions are actually the same point in folded three-dimensional space. So that could be an interesting way that instantaneous travel happens. Transcendent but immanent. If God is a cube and we are dots, God can be millimeters away from us, even though it feels like he's not even there. The Trinity, go with me on this one. The tripod was the only shape I could think of that was easy, that I could find clip art for, that had three things. But again, it's a single object, but in the second dimension, it looks like three separate objects. And finally, the New Jerusalem. If you read it, these are drawings that people have made based on John's measurements of the cubic part of the New Jerusalem. Is it a cubic city? That's a really weird thing. Nobody's ever built a cubic city before. Or is it a hyperdimension? This is in sci-fi, this is often described as an object that is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. So Doctor Who's TARDIS is one of these. All right, I'm just going to go. I wanted to do the Bible Project one, but we don't have time.
In the Bible, the idea
and it's really loud. Finally, this is the last. These are the references, and this is what I want to leave you with. This is from a priest, a French priest. We are not human beings having spiritual experiences. We are spiritual beings having human experiences. Wow. We'll stop with there.
So which Bible Project video is
it? I think it's called Heaven and Earth, but I can send you the link.
Yeah,
I yeah. yeah.
It's amazing. All this goes through your brain on a regular basis?
Oh, no. No, it's been building up.
Thank you so much, brother.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, it was too long.
No, that was awesome.
All right. Cool.
All right. Yeah. Follow them.
Yeah. Yep.
Speed. So God bless you all. Have a great week.